Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Well, hello, this is Dr. Tim. I'm hoping that Michelle is out there somewhere. And welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. It is 12:01 on Thursday, the 17th of October, 2013, and we are here to help spread the knowledge of a tool that makes people's lives better. And it does that in a deceptively simple way, the core of which is canceling a goal. And the process used to be known. It used to be fairly widely known. It was certainly taught in spiritual schools, and it was known in the ancient Aramaic. And over the years, it kind of disappeared. We can guess why it might have disappeared, because people who know about this tool, people who access it daily in their lives, they're living from love. They're living from acceptance. They're living from compassion and joy and a sense of aliveness. And it's very difficult to manipulate or control anybody who's living in that space. It's very difficult to get them to chase after a shiny bauble or a large bank account. It's very, very difficult to get them to say or do anything that would be harmful to another human being. It's impossible to get them to engage in the activities of war. And so, as you might imagine, if you just look at what's been going on our planet, you realize that this tool, the widespread use of this tool, has been gone for quite a long time. Because we have a lot of people who chase after shiny things, who think the accumulation of a bank account is their sole purpose in life, who are willing to march off to war because somebody said or did something that goes against their belief system or what they think their God wants them to do. So we're here to try to introduce people to a technology that was available thousands of years ago, that's still available, and we're here to support people in the active process of applying that tool and that technology to their lives. What it looks like, as I said before, is deceptively simple, and the entire process is available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And on almost every page, if you click on the link near the top of the page on the left-hand side, there's a link that says Start Here, and that takes you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And you can download the seven-step version of the newest worksheet, and you can download 6 audio files that give you step-by-step instructions of how to work through that process and apply it to your life. And we are actively supporting every day, 5 days a week, people who want to try that out, people who want to see what difference this simple little process might make in my life. And any time we have something that is resulting in us feeling anger, fear, sadness, hurt, confusion, irritation, frustration, that would be a good time to pull out this worksheet and start filling in the form, beginning with 1A, and simply keeping the breath flowing and outlining what it is that my mind is doing to create a hallucination that tells me that there is something more important in this life than the energy of creation, the energy of love, the energy of joy and acceptance and aliveness. And how is my mind creating a hallucination that says anger is a useful thing here, fear is a useful thing here, vengeance is a useful thing here? And then what goal am I holding from what data I've collected in the world that leaves me feeling this irritation and frustration or sadness or pain when the goal isn't being met? And then what happens if I actively cancel that goal and breathe and ask for guidance from a far more intelligent source than my conscious mind? And I go through that process and I watch the results. What happens is my life gets better one worksheet at a time. What happens is I spend a lot less time feeling anger, fear, sadness, confusion, hurt, and I open the possibility to spending much more of my life in that space of love, with my conscious awareness connected to my true nature as the energy of creation, the energy of love, and my experience in each moment ends up being more joyful and more loving. And that's what we're here to support people doing. That's how you can tap into the process. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169, and I'm hoping that someone's on the switchboard. And if you press one, they'll
one,
be able to...
And that,
hand is up. Is Michelle, are you there?
Yeah, I'm finishing your speech. Press one, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim, and Dr. Michael Rice is with us. I reassure you, I am rebooted and back online in handling the chat room. We've got 10 callers, and hi, Michael, how are things with you today?
Hey, they are well, thank you. Thank you very much. And isn't that technology fun when it decides not to work?
Well, it's very worksheet material, you know, instant.
Yes.
But Dr. Tim
yes,
is,
for sure.
Is a great backup. He you know, he was right there and without a beat did not miss a step.
Yes, and he is much blessed and appreciated by everybody that hears his voice.
So what's new in Rome?
Well, you know, we fly out of here tomorrow. Today was our last day. We did take a few hours and go downtown and kind of get a look at some of the, we went to the, let's see, the Square Piazza Popolare, and it's just amazing. You walk inside the basilica there, you look at the square, you see what has been built. It's just, it's mind-boggling. I mean, it's beyond mind-boggling. You look at the list on the church about how this one started it in 1480 and this one rebuilt it in 1520, and then somebody came along and took it all apart and redid it in, you know, 1670. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the pictures, the visual impact of what's there is simply beyond belief. So that was enjoyable. Oh, and then we went from there to the Pantheon, which is now a church. And you look at this structure, actually both Jeannie and I walked in the door, and just by walking through the door, both of us, the hair on our bodies just stood up on end, and the energy shift of this structure. It has largest dome I've ever seen, and it looks like it's poured concrete, standing up there about maybe 125 feet. It's probably, maybe 175 feet in diameter. No, far more than that. Anyway, it's absolutely huge with this glass opening in the top. And the energy of the structure was just, it was palpable for both of us. So it's a pretty cool experience. And tonight we get to pack our bags, and tomorrow we fly to Portugal. So that's the report from Rome at this moment. And I liked in your introduction, Tim, your use of the word baubles, you know, trying to get people interested in baubles. And it's such an appropriate word to use when you recognize how easily people give up their human lives, their connection to source. You know, our question, of course, when you want to establish human life is always hold a newborn child. And anyone who's held a newborn, when they describe the essence of the newborn, always has a word that is some variation on the theme of love and the presence of being. That energy is gentle. That energy is subtle. And unfortunately, in the noise of the world, it is easy to lose. And the start point of losing it is when we enter into denial, when we talk about something else as the cause of something that's going on inside of ourselves. We start to build a database. And there's an interesting story. This is something I've been sort of contemplating for about the last 2 weeks. We start to build this story, and it's a story on top of a story on top of a story to keep us from feeling what we've been doing to ourselves. And ultimately, we build this self based in our story. And the self is anything but the presence of love, anything but the direct experience of the physical presence of active love. And most people become so lost in their stories, we have the opportunity to experience this awesome state where every cell in our structure is absolutely connected to the presence of love. And, you know, if you look in the ancient teachings, they called it all kinds of things. They've called it bliss. They've called it nirvana. Different cultures have called it different things when they've had that experience. And, of course, oftentimes modern science calls it an hallucination, when, in fact, most of modern science is living in an hallucination of its own religious story and its rigid beliefs. There's a fellow who wrote a book, double PhD, who wrote a book called The Nature of Scientific Revolution. And what he says in it is that scientific ideas change when the old scientists die. And that's pretty much a good definition of a religion, in the sense that we get lost in our stories and forget to experience ourselves as human beings. And then, of course, there's always somebody else to blame. So you hear this story in the ancient scriptures of these people who are building into this really, truly divine experience. So if you listen to the scriptures, they talk about the Creator is love, and that we're designed to experience ourselves as that we are made of the same stuff. We're made in the image and the likeness of that. And then we have choice to abuse that and build a new image, build something other than that. And so we come into the world, and the world tends to just start to pound in its hostility and fear, put in the inhibitors for love, and teach us that in order to survive, we need this hostility and fear-based mind. And so we're converted from love-based beings into hostility and fear-based beings. And that loss of the state of love is the loss of innocence. It's been called the fall from grace. And, of course, we've got somebody else to blame for it. The one story that describes this happening in the ancient teachings is the story of the Tower of Babel. And, of course, the person who lives in denial always has to talk about how somebody else did it to them. Their story's always about, well, here I am, I'm the innocent victim, and look what somebody did to me. So you hear the story of the Tower of Babel. People are building into a higher state, and now God gets afraid. And so what God does is God makes them all speak in a different language. And when you realize that each and every one of us, unless we're speaking from our original state of being, unless we're speaking from that connected space of love, is speaking a different language. No matter what word I use, you have different brain cells for it. And 7.5 billion people on the planet have different brain cells. Not necessarily that I'm speaking Italian and you're speaking French and somebody else is speaking German and somebody else is speaking English, but literally that the pictures, the associations, the links that one has in their minds for each frequency that comes out of someone's mouth is different. Unique 7.5 billion languages on the planet if you've got 7.5 billion people. And of course, we blame the Creator for that. And then as we've been traveling around Europe and, of course, listening to people speaking different languages, including our own speaking of English, it's been striking me more and more that it's all babble. You know, you look at it, you listen to people, and they tell you their story about how, well, I did this because of that, and look what you did to me because of that, and no, and it's all just babble. And until we truly do the work of whatever it takes, and we've got 1,000 generations of babble going on inside of us, whatever it takes to get that carbon-based memory system, that to shut up for a minute so that we can go back to the direct experience of love and speak of that, then we're starting to speak truth. We're starting to speak something meaningful. Otherwise, it's all just babble or bobbles, same thing. You can't brainwash people who know who they are as love into war and rage and guilt and fear and terror and trauma. They're all just bobbles. I love the use of that word. That was cool. Great description. You just can't get them to be interested in that. It's like, I'm going to give up this for that? Are you crazy? But when this carbon-based memory system is filled with these generations and generations of rage and guilt and fear, and then for people to stay around long enough to hear that the tools will empty the carbon-based memory system or empty their own Tower of Babel of all of the babble, their defenses, their, you know, their protective mechanisms, their stories that just keep them locked out of love, and every defense to stay around long enough to hear that all of those defenses are simply the things that keep us locked into that state. They are the baubles and the babble. So that's what you triggered for me at this point. And of course, the forgiveness process is how to gently go inside of ourselves and let loose of every frequency that never belonged, to let go of the babble until the still small voice, the voice of being, is able to be heard. Because having weakened the noise from carbon-based memory or the Tower of Babel sufficiently, that voice is no longer drowned out, and we get to experience who we are. And to get someone who's, you know, thinks that life is composed of, I got to have enough baubles, money, power, sex, whatever it is, cars, fancy, you know, houses, whatever it is, I've got to have enough of this, I've got to have enough rage to protect myself, oh, I need a bigger weapon, just give me a big enough gun, you know, then I can protect myself, then I'll be safe, never realizing that all of these frequencies, you know, all I need is a gun to keep me safe, sends up a frequency that says, somebody come and attack me. And the voice of love never enters that babble until we can collapse it and get it to shut up. Of course, there are a couple of ways to collapse it. One of them is to have what the world calls a near-death experience, which is when carbon-based memory, the body-mind unit, goes through clinical death. And when it goes through clinical death, it shuts up. Now, this person who's supposedly having a near-death experience because their body just died actually has a near-life experience because, they just get the experience of the presence of love and who they are and what life is really about. And then if the body is resuscitated, they come back with an awareness of who they are, and another level of work begins. And, you know, some people do enough work to keep carbon-based memory quiet, to keep the babble down, and others, you know, get lost in it again. There's a pretty awesome video that you can order on the web. There are some sites that will say that there is no DVD of it, but there is if you just search. I think it's a Canadian company that carries it. And it's a true story of a man named Daniel Brinkley. The movie's called, the book is called Saved by the Light. And it shows Daniel's struggle, true story, I know Daniel, after he's struck with lightning. You know, he's basically, his job is a hired government killer. And Daniel has said to me personally, you know, Michael, I loved my job. If they gave me a piece of paper with a name on it, that person was dead, and I liked my job. And then he's struck by lightning. His body dies. His babble shuts up. Carbon-based memory is closed down. And he gets two basic messages that he brings back when they resuscitate him after being dead for about 20 or 28 minutes. Supposedly you should never be able to function after that. And he comes back, and now what Daniel does instead of killing people is he goes around teaching, you're a powerful spiritual being and love makes the difference. They're quotes from Daniel Brinkley. You are a powerful spiritual being and love makes the difference. Now, if you're babble, if your carbon-based memory is filled with rage and I have to protect myself and defenses and I need more money and I need more power and if I could only get enough, then all of that noise, you're a powerful spiritual being, doesn't mean anything. Love makes a difference. If you're living out a carbon-based memory, might mean, you mean I have to get more men or women into bed with me? Because that's the definition of love, you know, sexual athletics. Carbon-based memory's got a story for everything. And most people are so stuck in their story that they can't get a taste of the direct active presence of love. And each time the carbon-based memory fires off another insane story, that's the opportunity to forgive that story and forgive that story and forgive that story until we're free of it and we actually function as true human beings. So that's what's on my mind for today in Rome.
That's a boatload.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
Well, I think it's just wonderful that your travels have stimulated that thought. I often feel, I was in a meeting this morning where it felt like almost everybody in the meeting was speaking a different language. There were so many disconnects and so many people sitting in their own emotions and some, you know, working their cell phones and their tablets and not paying attention to the speaker, and it's just amazing how we can pretend to be so connected and really be so lost in the dream of separation that our actions betray the truth that we're not connected at all.
Yeah. It is amazing, and when you realize that Tower of Babel thing means there are, you know, with 7.5 billion people, that there's 7.5 billion languages. That's like, whoa, let's sit back and take notice of that one and see what the repercussions are if we wake up from it. How about for you, Michelle? Does that stimulate anything for you?
Well, as far as learning a new language, that's what the brain cells that we're developing is all about. So I think in order to get to the forgiveness and the love, then, yeah, you have to learn a new language. And that's part of the radio show for me. And when I was listening to you talk, it felt like kind of dreamy, like just listening to an ancient story of wisdom that, like, you know, somewhere deep, it's clicking, something's waking up.
Are you there, Michael?
Hi there. Hey, this is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
I just saw you in
chat
room.
How are you? I've been trying to get on the computer by Skype, and it's just not cooperating. So
Oh, really?
I'm using Michael's phone.
Oh, okay. Because it says Jeannie Rice in the chat room.
Does it? Well, it's not letting me on the to call in. I mean, I'm signed in, but it won't let me call. I've hit the Skype button, and it won't give me the pop-up, so I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, it's good to hear from you all, or good to hear you. I guess it's hearing from us, huh?
Well, Michael explained yesterday that you were having some adventures solo, taking tours and touristy things.
Yeah, I've had to, you know, gave me opportunities to forgive guilt for leaving him here, but he said there was no sense in both of us missing Italy, so I went ahead 2 days, actually, and did some tours. I haven't got the pictures out on Facebook yet, but it was awesome, so I came back and gave Michael the virtual tour. I took like 200 and some pictures each day. So I came back and showed him what I had seen, but he got to go with me today, and the Pantheon was awesome. I heard him explaining to y'all. It's the energy of just walking in the door was phenomenal. What was amazing, though, is like there's, when I say modern buildings, I mean, they're still probably a couple hundred years old, but here's these newer buildings, and the taxi driver just drops us off, and, you know, we get out, and it looks like stores and things like that, and you round the corner, and there's this huge ancient ruin-type building. I mean, they've reconstructed a lot of it, but it's like right there in the middle of all of these more modern buildings. It was phenomenal.
Well, Jeannie, have you been... are you there?
I am.
Have you been able to connect with people on WhatsApp lately?
It doesn't work on my phone. Michael's phone, because he bought a European SIM card and put in it, he's been able to use some of those features. But my phone only works if I have internet. And a couple of times, like even when I was out doing touristy stuff and left him here, I would try to use WhatsApp or talk with others to send him a message and let him know where I was and what was going on, and I couldn't even get a hold of him. So to kind of be out of connection like that, but
well, we've missed you. We're glad to hear it's going well, and
it is.
We're looking forward
and
to.
I hope his foot's going back in the right direction. So,
well, it will all in the right time. We're certain.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you all so much for just holding us up there, and the support that you're giving is just phenomenal. Thank you.
You're entirely welcome and deserving. And as Michelle said, it's really, it's a process for building the brain cells and being able to tap into that loving energy and support from others once a day. So it's something that pays back in spades. We had an absolutely phenomenal group on Tuesday, and we've had some lovely callers in the past couple weeks, so it's an honor to be able to help out.
Well, thank you so much, and we love you all. I'm going to hand the phone back to Michael.
So I'm back, and Jeannie actually just triggered another little piece of the puzzle that I neglected to share with you yesterday about the crisis that I'm going through. You know, when
Michael,
we talk reasons,
Michael, you're going to want to change something so we can hear you. We're getting about every second or third word now.
Physical level. Yes, sir. Is that any better?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yeah, Michael, it is much better.
Oh, okay, good, good. Thank you, Tim. So I was starting to say that just in the way of healing symptoms, when we start processing through something that is not Dr. Feelgood, on a physical level, it's going to look like any kind of physical symptom you've ever had, and low energy. On a mental level, it's any kind of negative thought, confusion. On an emotional level, any kind of negative feeling and depression. And one of the ways, there are several things that can that will tell you when you're symptomatic that you're healing as opposed to in a disease process. And one of them is that you'll experience a craving for something that you used previously to suppress. And so just tying that all together, and yesterday when Jeannie was on the tour, I was actually soaking in the tub and just kind of nursing my foot as I'm going through this. And at one point, I was just in the tub breathing and, you know, just letting whatever energies moved. And it was particularly cognizant. Nothing in particular came to mind in terms of specific awarenesses. But at one point, I got up out of the tub and went to the other room to get something and then went back in. And all of a sudden, my grandmother's presence was there. And my grandmother, you know, this was a foot trauma, and my grandmother, actually, before she passed, they took her, both of her feet off, her ankles off, her legs up to the knees. And so when I went back into the place I'd been breathing and soaking, all of a sudden, there was a very distinctive odor that I haven't smelled for over 50 years. And when I was a kid, I was kind of my grandmother's favorite, and she was my favorite, and my brothers and sisters would never go, you know, would never stay away from home overnight. Every time I got a chance to go to grandma's, I was there. And so I spent a lot of time with her. And this is kind of telling a story on her out of school, but one of the things my grandmother liked to do was to smoke a pipe. And there was always this smell in her house, this very specific aroma of the pipe tobacco that she liked to use. And so when I walked back into the bathroom, there was the pipe tobacco. Now, how many times as a kid had I been exposed to that in very close relationship and resonance with my grandmother? I don't know. I can't count how many times. But certainly, and of course I know of other people who smoke pipes, but there was never anything as distinctive as this. And as I left the room, of course I couldn't smell it being in the room, but once I left and came back, it was like, whoa, it was so strong. And that was just a signal for me, okay, here's another layer of stuff letting loose, and this is stuff to do with grandma and feet and clearing this energy out. So I had forgotten to share that with yesterday, but it was pretty powerful to be so distinctive in terms of the smell that was in that room that I had been soaking and breathing in, left, and came back to. So just to reaffirm the whole idea of what healing looks like, and as we go through those symptoms, and sometimes it's pretty painful, as my foot has been pretty pained. And today, you know, the last 3 days, I've pretty much not been able to walk, and today I pretty much, you know, negotiated the whole journey that we did. It's a little fatiguing. There's still more work to do there, and I appreciate everybody holding the space, but it just opened things on a whole other level, so... Just
Michael,
to assure everybody the safety of the healing process. Yes, go ahead.
That story is amazing. But could you repeat the first part about what you said, that when you're in a healing crisis, you crave what you used to anesthetize the feelings? Or what exactly did you say?
Yes. Yes. Well, so there are three levels of healing: physical, mental, old symptoms, low energy, confusion, negative thoughts, depression, negative feelings. So they're what the symptoms look like. When you become symptomatic, remember there are four things that will tell you that your symptoms are healing in process. Number one, you ask yourself the question, have I been doing more and more of the right things? If so, I'm building vitality, I'm moving in the right direction. Number two, had I hit a new level of vitality just before this happened? because as I hit a new level of vitality, as I go to a new high, I can then dig into a new depth of what I need to break down and remove. Then the third thing is, what's happening with my elimination? Is there an increase or a decrease in elimination? So there are three things that will tell you your symptoms are healing in process. And then the fourth, there will be a craving for whatever drug you used to suppress whatever it is that you didn't want to look at, to dissociate from whatever it was, to weaken yourself enough that you could keep the energy hidden. My grandmother, at least my projection of it is that my grandmother had an addiction to pipe tobacco. I spent a lot of time in her space. She never smoked it when she was around me. She always swore she never did, but of course it was so distinctive in the house. And my mother would tell me that. You know, I never saw her do it. You know, I was there a lot, and that was, you know, she was actually from had a husband who was an alcoholic and didn't touch alcohol, but I think that was her drug of choice. So here I am, second generation, 50 years since I've smelled that smell, been in her presence while she was doing that, and here's a woman who had both of her feet amputated, actually her legs right up to the knees amputated, and here I am in a space of willingness and breathing, and the room that I'm in fills up with what I presume she was addicted to. So my structure carried traces of that energy locked in on an energetic level. Remember, we don't have a physical body. There's no physical. It's all energy. And when we go into a dissociated state, when we weaken ourselves, we literally build crystals. And every time we're going to heal something, those crystals have to break open and their content comes up. And if we get lost, if we forget who we are and get lost, then that story takes over our lives again. We become that story. We think that's who we are. Or we think we need whatever it is that it's doing. And so it just became clear to me of, so here's my structure now. I've gotten to the point of a significant enough level of vitality that my body can yield up the drug that I was exposed to that my grandmother used. I never smoked pipe tobacco. Actually, there was, I think, a small period where I experimented with it, but it didn't smell anything like what she used. I don't know what it was she used, but it was very distinctive. And so here I am detoxing it.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Half a century later. Well, it's just nice to have the brain cells to know what's going on. It just makes life so much easier, because if we get caught into the symptomatic energy that we're moving through and lose awareness of who we are to that, then we could just recreate the story. We can just go right back to the whole thing again. And, you know, I could go into all the traumas that happen and, you know, what am I going to end up with? I'm going to end up doing what my grandmother did. I'm going to end up with the amputation, blah, 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 cancel those thoughts. But if I don't process those energies, and when we talk about processing, we're talking about bringing those energies forward to the active space of love. And when they do, when those energies come forward in the active space of love, they dissolve. If we lose connection and contact and remembrance of the active space of love, then those energies will simply take over and play themselves out again and again and again. You know, in the ancient teachings, they said it, In this way, you know, the word sin in Aramaic, as we've talked about on the show before, is an archery term that means off the mark. So when they said the sins of the fathers will be passed yea into three and four generations of those who hate me, here's the Creator saying to us that the way the system is designed is every frequency that comes into every generation hologram in that structure in every cell, including the sperm and the egg, and passed from generation to generation to generation. And then the last part of that phrase is, and here's the Creator talking to us directly as humans, here's love saying, you're stuck. with your generational patterns if you don't have relationship with the active presence of love. Hate me. The word hate there in Aramaic is not hate as in a love-hate relationship. It's those who are separated from me. So if I can't connect to the active presence of love when I become symptomatic, I'm simply going to unfold the generational pattern one more time, one more time, one more time. If I can stop, if I can breathe, if I continue in the practice. And one of the beautiful things is that the structure will never yield up something you're not ready to work through. It can't. There's an automatic built-in suppress mechanism. If I'm at a level 5 vitality and I have a level 7 toxin, I'm not going to be able to deal with it. And whether that toxin is physical, mental, emotional, doesn't matter. I'm not going to be able to deal with it. And my structure knows that I don't have the vitality to deal with it. It's not going to yield it up. When I get to the point of sufficient vitality that it cracks open, it's like carbon-based memory wants to come up and grab me by the spiritual face and suck me right in, out of being, back into the trauma of the generations. And so to remember that, nothing's going to crack open in my structure for me to deal with that I don't have the vitality to deal with, that I can't deal with. So, okay, I'll trust it. You know, there's that statement in there that says, I'm willing to take the advice and the support. I'm willing to support the eternal elemental force in me that was designed for us to undo the effects of my errors and the truth. Unless I'm stuck in what's called stuck my pain, and it becomes an identity that many people wear like their red badge of trauma, their pain, as opposed to, oh, here's another layer of something for me to work through. Healing isn't Dr. Feelgood. Okay, I'm going to let this crack open. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to breathe. I've got the tools. I've got forgiveness. I've got a phone. I can pick up the phone and ask for support. And if I can't hold the space of active love, then somebody can hold that space of active love for me and with me. And as it does, now that I'm no longer separated from the active presence of love, I move into process. And, you know, the beauty of it is there's nothing to figure out. There's no big psychological dynamic or, you know, some big thing to do. If love is conscious, active, and present, that which cracks open then in us that is less than love dissolves. That's the other beauty of the support group, is if I can't hold to the presence of love when this thing cracks open, if I don't have the vitality to handle it when I'm home in my own room by myself doing my own thing, and on Tuesday night I go to a support group and there are 20 people there who are, you know, maybe 3 of them are really deeply connected tonight. They're going to fire my vitality up, and I get to crack that one open. And I don't have to do it on my own. That's the power of a support group, and that's one of the reasons we do the radio show every day, to provide the space and the support for that, because one of the things we know about this energy is there's nothing in time or space that can inhibit its movement or its flow. And so that's what we're here to do.
Very powerful.
Does that get to your question?
No. When you were explaining that you have an understanding of what was going on with you in the bathroom and the smell and all what was being processed in terms of the generation, what you just explained kind of makes a lot of things come into focus for me, a better understanding of what I've been experiencing and why, and just a better understanding. Yeah, that was very helpful. We've got 15 minutes left.
Yeah, and let's make it clear that for anybody who maybe has tapped into the show late, as we talk about, you know, what was happening in the bathroom, I was soaking in a tub of hot water.
Well, that would be their brains on you, Michael. The planet moved a little bit because you're starting
somebody
to
knows what we're talking.
Michael?
Okay, well, my connection is just what it is. So, ping me,
okay.
If you just let me know, and I'll be still and turn it over to you
okay.
guys.
It's good. Now, would you like to take a caller?
So let's check in. I would with Dr. Tim and see if...
let's try the caller, Michelle, and see who's up.
Any more thoughts for him? Anything to share?
So, Michael, you're breaking up quite a
bit.
Got
a caller for
Michelle? Tap into the caller, Michelle, and see who's there, and maybe Michael can hear. Maybe he'll have some input then.
Okay. So we're going to connect with area code 760. Hi, you're on the air. Who's talking?
Hi, this is Don David in Palm Springs. How are you guys?
Good, Don.
Dr. Tim and Michael, I need to speak to you really bad. Michael, I emailed you last night. There's something, trauma. I've been working with Patricia Gorney. She's in Florida, and she has a forgiveness page on Facebook. And I've been working closely with
her.
Right,
yes, sure.
She's a good friend of yours. And I have a crazy lady at a store that I show art at in Palm Springs. And she's created a split in my multiple personality disorder, and I don't know what to do.
Well, here would be my highest thought for you, is that if she's given you the gift of showing you another level of what's in carbon-based memory that needs to be healed, you keep tapping in and doing all of the above. You're right on track.
Now, but Michael, one of the altars is dangerous. He's very dangerous. He'll go to any lengths to protect the little 8-year-old. I wrote you this in an email. His name's Damien.
Right. So
he
breathe.
He threw off 10 police officers like they were fleas in Dallas about 15 or so years ago. And they thought I was going to break right through the handcuffs. And so they had to sedate me with
Adderall. So let me ask a question. Okay. Let me ask a question.
Yes?
Just before she said and did whatever she said and did, were you riding a high? Were you at a new level of vitality?
I was grieving over my dog again.
Okay, and just before that kicked in, were you at a new level of vitality? Were you in a new space of connectedness?
Well,
Just think. Take a breath. Go back just before that grief came out.
I've been fighting with the things that govern this over my page, Angel Fire Network, which is in delete mode because I'm at Roseanne World, and they don't like Roseanne. And so when I post her and she posts my comments on her page, it's just caused a big worldwide chaos. And so, you know, I'm just one person, and I've just got too much on my plate.
So you've put yourself in a position to be in high stress mode. Remember, when the stress is up and the chips are down, what's going to happen? The old power person dynamics are going to come up. So now when they start to come up, it's kind of like that old story of how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One breath at a time, one worksheet at a time, you begin to dissolve. You know, that persona, and you know, if you look at that word, it's a Greek word that means mask. That mask that you developed out of your having been traumatized is a literal pocket of energy, an energetic dynamic stored in the mind that you developed as a defense mechanism.
Well, Patricia...
And... So when you recognize that's an energetic packet of energy that is activated by certain circumstances, it is a... dis-ease energy with the kind of hostility that you're talking about that's in it. So it's not wherever it's stored in your physiology is not very beneficial. So naturally, you set yourself up for that to come to the surface. And you begin to dissolve it by using the tools one step at a time, one piece at a time.
Well, Patricia reminded she said, is anything going on that has anything to do with the trauma when you're 5 and 8 years old regarding your dog? And I said, yeah, my mother died when I was 8 of cancer, and she died on November 14th.
Mm.
He died on the 13th.
Yeah, that's big stuff. Breathe. Notice how you want to shut your breath down. Or should I say how your breath automatically shuts itself off here?
Yeah.
And so stay with it. Be right with what's surfacing. This is what that persona is made of. Then when it's activated strongly enough, takes over. And this is how you dissolve it and get rid of it. So that your physiology is a place for you, Dawn, love, to incarnate and express in the world, especially with your artistic talents.
Yeah.
And so start looking at the goals that were involved to take you back to 8-year-old's trauma. Gee, I want this person who's showing my art to treat me fairly, to be there for me. I want the people who are doing my website to take care of what they're supposed to take care of, whatever those goals are. And remember, each time you set a goal, you create a stress. When you create enough stress, bang, those unconscious dynamics are going to start to come forward.
Well, the dynamic looks to me like it's the battle between good and evil, is what it looks like to me.
Yeah. Well, and that battle has been talked about in many
just
ways.
Like
we
the,
call it
yeah, like
the age-old
Armageddon. How many times have we gone through Armageddon? Every war we've ever had
is
Armageddon.
And this is your own personal battle of Armageddon. So it's the battle between being and non-being. It's the battle between truth and the non-being lies of hostility and fear.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we're coming to a point where enough people are waking up that the battle is being won through those who choose to actively presence love rather than to fall into identification with what's been stored in carbon-based memory.
Well, that's what I was doing at Angel Fire Network, and I endorsed your website there as well. And they
cool.
just keep screwing with the Facebook governance, keeps messing with it. And I told her the third time she locked up my control panel, I said, the next time you do it, I'm closing the page. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm just trying to help the planet, the animal kingdom, and mankind here, and I don't get paid for it. And so
yeah.
she
and,
did
and
it again.
And you know what? And you know what?
What?
There are people who live in carbon-based memory who don't want that to happen. There are people whose carbon-based memories say, ah, well, there's drama and trauma, and it's somebody else's, I'm safe. So I want that to continue. And, you know, if I were to let everybody who would step in the way of taking forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on the planet stop me because they want to function out of their hostility and fear, her hostility and fear, whatever it is she's doing, it's about her, it's not about you.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
When you can hold a space of blessing for her and her healing, you get to heal that part of you. I had kind of an interesting experience today. We were in the Leonardo da Vinci Museum, and in this museum they have all these inventions of da Vinci. Amazing.
Uh-huh.
And then we go back into one corner of the museum. And something I didn't realize was that Da Vinci had drawings and had developed technology for all kinds of absolutely horrific weapons, like Gatling gun type stuff, machine guns.
Oh, my God.
I don't
know
how
that.
Much he had to – I didn't know that. But, I mean, they've got replicas of stuff that he had done drawings of, working models of.
Well, he was experimenting on cadavers before even the medicine people were.
But here's what came to me. So here's what came to me as I did that. It's like, I wonder if he actually was the one who developed the prototype for these weapons to actually be used in the world. And then the thought came, man, I wouldn't want to have his karma. I wouldn't want to have the load that he's put on himself by the damage that he's done if, in fact, he was the one who sourced those weapons. And then my mind went, of course, to, and whoever did build them, the karma those people are carrying from all the stuff that's been done. Mm-hmm. And then it was, oh, okay, so now what we need to do is breathe and help them to resolve their karma. Because if they don't, then it carries on in the world. And, of course, karma is a one way of saying it. It's as you sow, you reap. If he sowed the seeds of the murder of millions by these weapons, what load of energy is in his system? And so each one of us that wakes up, who stands as a space of love and says, Leonardo, if that's on your shoulders, I'm here to bear the burden. I'm willing to get big enough in my being to support you in dissolving all of that. And
there's supposedly another painting that x-rayed underneath the Mona Lisa. I don't know much about it, but I do know that part of it.
Yeah. So I support you being able to recognize that.
I hate to take up so much time. I know there may be other callers, but I'm in a really bad space.
We have plenty of time. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. There's plenty
and
of time
just,
for you.
I sprained my ankle a couple of weeks ago and was just hobbling around, so I hold a space for you for your situation. I know it's a bummer when you can't get up and walk across the room. I was scooting around on my computer chair from room to room. And
well, thank you for
how.
The support. And notice your ankle being sprained right at the point where all these support issues are up. And that's what ankles and feet are about. They're about support and moving forward. And notice that there's somebody externally that you've manifested holding you back. You know, I could have just told a whole story about Hold on, slow down. There's a point to make here.
Okay.
So when I first brought this up on the show, I could have had the whole story. You know, I've got a story about why my ankle and my feet are doing what they're doing. You know, I haven't worn anything but sandals in 25 years. And for 3 weeks, I've been tromping around Europe in a pair of shoes that I've not. And so the shoes were too tight. And there's what it's all about. Now, I could be in that story. But what I realize is, yes, that was the way that I did that to myself. And the truth is, what I'm dealing with is support. And recognizing, and what's my insight yesterday was, recognizing that there are new levels of support coming forward for the work.
Yeah,
and
One minute, okay.
So as they do come forward, I've got to open a space for that to flow through me. So these people may be your manifestation for you to open the next level for what you're about doing in your world, in touching the world with the presence of your art and the beauty that you carry. And we hold
that
space for you. And if we need to continue the conversation tomorrow, let's make sure we do it. Blessings. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal lives. Thank you.
Bless you, Michael.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.